Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. And today it's going to be including some music power. You've been hearing me talk about Filippo Francini and his wonderful CD that has some terrific music on it. And we're going to be playing some excerpts from it. In fact, before we get on the phone line with Filippo, I'd like to play track number one. It's titled 12 Stars. We're going to play about a minute and a half of it. So let's listen to that first, and then we'll come back in. Donna Sebo and Filippo will be back with you in just a moment, but listen to this beautiful sound. Hello, this is Donna. Well, we played a different tone, a different song. We played Incantata. Now, this is a very relaxing tone, but yet it's got such a joyful tonality to it. My guest today is Filippo Francini. I want to welcome you to the show, Filippo.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's great to be on with you.
I was so intrigued with this music when Mara Quigley sent it to me. And I really was amazed at the various musical instruments that were utilized, number one. And number two, the variances in tones. Now, I know that you travel. You travel between Los Angeles and Italy quite a bit. You have been in B.B. King's environment. You have played at just different places in the world. And apparently you've got a featured performance that's coming up in Milan at their International Yoga Festival. Now,
yes.
I want to ask you a very personal question. Has music always been a passion for you? And then I'll tag a second one on. When did you know that this is what you wanted to dedicate your life to, is the writing of music? So you have two questions there.
Well, I'd say from the time I was a young child, I was very drawn to music. And my mother tells me that I would sing a lot when I was a baby. And then when I got a little older, I started playing with the piano that we had in our house. And I had a little record player, and I loved playing my records. So I was always drawn to music. And then when I got a little bit older, like 8 years old, is when I started studying guitar formally. And I studied classical guitar and then some folk music, and I started playing blues and rock and roll. And then as my travels widened, I took in all these other different international influences to my musical vocabulary, so to speak. And when did I know that I wanted to do it as a professional? It sort of chose me more than I chose it, I think. That it just seemed like that was the obvious thing that I was going to do. That's what I loved. I didn't even think of it as a career. I just thought of it as what I love to do. And so here I am today, touring around the world and making albums because it's still what I love to do.
Now, you're a composer, and there are many musicians that never get in to the composing venue. I have a very dear friend who is a classical pianist, and he's now in his 70s, and he just started doing composing, and he's finding he's very, very good at it. But he's been a scientist, a physicist, this type of thing for most of his life. Here you've started into musical composition. Now, did you go to college? Did you find yourself getting degrees in music? And then what made you start the composing? Or was this something that was something that you folded right into?
Well, I started composing when I was about, I'd say, 12 years old. I started writing songs.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. And so I thought that was just natural thing to do when you had an instrument and you felt like certain emotions or thoughts, you just made songs out of them. That's what I listened to a lot of the radio when I was, 9, 10, 11, 12, into my teens. And I liked pop music. I liked classical music. That was played a lot in my house. And I think it was just a natural outgrowth of hearing a lot of music that, for me, I wanted to start expressing myself in that form of writing. And yes, I did go to college. I did study classical formal composition for a while, and that was useful. But just as useful was all the experience of playing with many great, talented musicians and going around the world and being exposed to lots of different kinds of music, different sounds, different instruments.
I'd like to play the piece, and it was the one we were going to start out with, but we didn't. We instead did In Cantata, which was the first piece. I want to do track number one, and our engineer's going to set this up. It's called 12 Stars. And when you're listening to this music, be aware of all of the different instruments that are in this particular piece. Let's do 12 Stars. I think in this one you have the bongo drum, you have a guitar, or is it a mandolin and a cello?
It's a 12-string. Well, the instrument that sounds like a mandolin is actually a 12-string guitar.
A 12-string guitar.
Right, which has octaves on three of the strings, so you get a more chimey, high-pitched sound. It's very resonant. Yes, and there's a cello, and then there's also string bass, bowed bass, and then the drums that you hear in the back, it's not bongos, but they are like kettle drums, kind of.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, the tonality of the drums reminded me of what often comes off of the bongo. So it was just, to my ear, it was just a very unique mixture of tones that you have here. Now, one of the things I want to ask you about, because each and every one of your pieces is not exactly what I would say reflective, but it reminds me of different pieces of music that through the years have been encouraged by musicians for people to listen to for relaxation, for meditation, for being able to go into an altered state of mind in a harmonic manner that allows them to get in touch with themselves. Is that what is behind this beautiful CD, Music and Grace? Is that what you wanted to accomplish when you put these pieces together?
Yes, absolutely. It's engineered, you could say, sonically engineered, to be a portal into a meditative state, into a place where the nervous system finds balance, where the emotions can relax, and where every part of the body can just release, and then it gives you a floating kind of sensation, like a sonic mattress that you can just lie on.
Now, that's a very good description, a sonic mattress for one to lie on, created by music. Music is fascinating to me, always has been, in that you can create agitation with it, you can create emotions that often people don't even recognize that they can feel, and it can also be used for something that is so magical as healing because of the way harmonics are produced. Now, for you to deal with this, for example, with 12 strings, you incorporated this different type of instrumentation. You had to pay attention to certain tones. Are there those tones that you learned from other people that incorporate this in naturally? Is it something that you just, when you're composing, that you just get a feel for it? What was the inspiration for 12 Stars?
Well, 12 Stars, of course, it's built around the 12-string guitar, so there's one of the clues for the title. And also, it's based on a certain cosmic kind of a view that many, many millennia ago, that our solar system had 12 planets rather than 9, and there's a book called The 12th Planet, which is quite an amazing, provocative book. And so I had read that recently, and thinking about this cosmic drama that unfolds through the millennium and the 12-string guitar and the 12 planets, it all came together. It's also based around the interval of a fifth, a perfect fifth, which is a ratio in physics of 2 to 3. And that ratio has been shown to be very effective in harmonizing the left and the right side of the brain and creating a sense of tranquility and balance and calm. So the first two notes of the piece are fifth and the root, like that. And then it builds around that particular relationship.
So then as soon as you hear those two notes, there's automatically something that the brain does with it, and it's like adjustment.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Now, have you done any kind of research with this music that you are producing, where maybe you've been involved with a university or some other people that will wire people up to see how their brains respond to all of these unique tonalities?
I studied with an amazing musical scientist named Dr. John Bellieu, and he's both a trained scientist and a musician, and that's been his passion. He's written several books about the physics and the healing properties of music. So I studied with him and learned more than I can even remember at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's a brilliant, brilliant man, and he had lots of gems of wisdom to impart about the way that music affects the nervous system. And he'd done much research himself and been involved over the years with other musical researchers. So I had the benefit of his experience, and then a couple other teachers that I've also studied with, Jonathan Goldman, who's considered one of the pioneers.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yes, mm-hmm. He is wonderful.
Yeah, and also Sylvia Nakash, who's comes to the musical healing realm through the more eastern side of Nada yoga, which is something that I'm also very interested in. So, I've had some really great teachers, but then when it comes down to it, you have to use your own ear and your own experience and your own sensitivity to understand how things work. You know, it's not enough just to study it academically. You have to be able to feel it. You have to be able to experience it and see how it affects other people. And I regard composing and playing music as like it's casting spells. It's like every kind of music, every mode of music has a certain emotional quality to it, a certain energetic quality to it. And in India, for example, they call these different kind of tones that they were ragas, and they had ragas for the morning and ragas for the evening to be more calming, mm-hmm. and ragas for the midday, and they had recognized through the years that certain intervals and certain scales produce certain energetic qualities, and they had a flavor to them, and so they used that knowledge to engineer the music to be like a healing, medicinal mm-hmm. kind of quality. So that's something that now we're beginning to understand more in the Western world. You know, that music is more than entertainment. Music is actually a very powerful healing force when properly used.
Absolutely. We're going to play track number 5, which is called Karma's Spell. And listen for the vocal side of this. It's very subtle. I think you'll find it really intriguing. So listen carefully as we play track number 5, Karma's Spell.
Thank you.
that come into the piece. How did you bring that in? It almost, to me, is reminiscent of the tonalities that the Tibetan monks use.
That's interesting because the first instrument that you hear, which some people say sounds like a banjo, but it's actually a Moroccan instrument called a djembe. It's a very primitive, like, four-stringed instrument, goat skin stretched over this sort of wooden frame. And I use that as the first instrument that plays the opening arpeggio. Then there's a very slidey, sinuous sound, and that is a slide steel guitar is making that sound. And so, yeah, those are the instruments that you don't hear used in Western music very, you know, in that context very much. So it might sound a little strange to the ear at first, but I think it's very relaxing as you listen to it more.
One of the things about the tone of the steel guitar, it's very, very clear, and it resonates very distinctly. And I think it was, in the 50s, 60s, that was an instrument that often was used, especially by musicians, because of certain ballads and other things that were done. And someone had to be quite skilled to be able to use it effectively, and it seemed magical when they played with it. But the sound of the steel guitar is so distinct. The djembe that you say is quite an old instrument with the goatskin covering.
Right.
This tonality actually reminded me of some of the Chinese instruments that are played that might only be like two or three strings. And also sometimes a lyre will have that kind of a tone. So it's really a unique experience for the ear, these different tones that you bring in. And I noticed when you were talking to someone else, and I was hearing it over the air, I wanted to let you know that you were letting people know that we were playing the music. But there are these subtleties and all of these undertones. When you're doing the mixing for your music, how long does it take you to get that final result? These instruments, are they played independently and then brought together in the music composition? Or are you in studio and all of you are there playing?
Both of those methods are used, and in this album, we use both of those techniques. Sometimes we played it all together. In this particular case, the djembe part was put down first. That was recorded at the beginning, and then the slide guitar part was put on afterwards, as was there's actually a vocal track that comes in later on after we stop listening, though. And so we did it in layers. And as far as the mix goes, it's a very interesting process that's sort of like baking a cake, you know. You have to mix all the ingredients properly, and then you have to put them in the right temperature oven, not too hot, not too cold, and the right amount of time. So I would say for most of these songs, it took a good 3 days of mixing to get them just the way we liked them.
I think it's incredible what we're able to use with technology. Now, this next one that I want to play has ocean sounds to it, and I love the strings. And, of course, the sound of waves crashing against a shore, the sound of the ocean movement is so relaxing. This has been something that's used for meditation. Oh, my goodness, I don't know for how many years. People really like it. If they want to go to sleep, they put on something that reminds them of the waves, and off they are into sleep land. Let's play track number 7. And for about a minute. And I really like what came out of this. This has a very different feel to it. Let's go with track number 7. It's called Reverie.
All right.
particular piece, Reverie, and of course we just played about a minute of it. What I'm noticing is that when you are playing, and you're playing with a stringed instrument, you go
right.
for a certain vibrational frequency because you want that particular tone to hover in the sound capacity, and it creates almost an ethereal, magical feel. Was this your 12-string guitar that you were playing that produced this?
On that track, it's actually a six-string, steel-string six guitar, but behind it, there's also an instrument, an Indian instrument called a tambura, which has this very sinuous kind of drone sound to
mm-hmm.
it, and
mm-hmm.
and that's probably what you're identifying as the holding tone, because against that background, then there's all kinds of harmonics that happen between it and the guitar.
Mm-hmm. It's really it's just absolutely marvelous to listen to. Well, I know, Filippo, we're just about out of time. Your CD, Magic and Grace, I think one can listen from beginning to end. We've played excerpts from a number of your pieces, but there's so much more to each piece, and I think you have accomplished very nicely what you set out to do. And I just think that listening to it, and I've listened to the CD more than once, it is really very good for even getting clarity of thought. Not only is it restful, but it is something that allows you to get rid of all the busyness of the mind thought. Now, for people to find out more about your music, where you're performing, what your new CDs are, and this is your latest, I believe, Magic and Grace, what
right.
website do they go to?
MagicandGraceMusic.com. That'll take you right there.
And is the word and spelled out? Magic
spelled
and Grace?
Out, yeah. Magic and spelled out Grace Music.
Music.com.
There's
well,
some videos and interviews and my touring schedule. Everything's on there.
Wonderful. MagicandGraceMusic.com. Well, Filippo Francini, you've done a marvelous job. I wish you continued success, and thank you so very much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for all the compliments, and I'm glad you enjoyed the music.
Very much so, very much so. Donna Sebo here. Don't forget, if you really want to have a CD that is going to allow you to let go of whatever may be stressing you, if you're looking at music as a healing instrument, I think you would find this CD, Magic and Grace, really prime for your listening pleasure and for the wonderful feel that you have after you finish it. Magic and Grace, this is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Thank you. If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, this is what we're going to give you. The worldwide toll-free telephone number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I am always fascinated with musicians because everyone has their own way of responding to things. And when people are listening to music, it can have a tremendous impact on them psychologically. John Philip Sousa was a man who's known, I mean, my goodness, who played his music on the 4th of July. This man during his time would just make people want to get up and march and dance. And it was just because of the feel, the tempo, the joy in the sounds. And it was something that really set a precedent, especially for its time frame. And even today, the music is very inspirational. But you think of the famous composer John Williams, who did Star Trek and who's just done some phenomenal, phenomenal music. And it is a very special talent that enables one to take sounds and move them. And if ever you're watching a movie, if you happen to just think of it, you will find that the music that is in a movie sets a lot of the emotional impact of whatever's being done. You take the music out and you watch maybe what's on the screen, even if you can hear someone speaking, and it doesn't have the same effect. It's absolutely amazing. And there is really a very fine art to this. And it's the same thing with the human voice. One of the most moving experiences that I have ever had, and my husband felt the same way. We went to hear a small group of men. There were only 8 of them, and they were from Russia. They were all Russian priests. They did not have an instrument with them. Their voices were their instruments. And for 2, almost 3 hours, the entire audience that listened to them, they happened to have a special performance in Olympia, Washington, and we found out about it, and we went down to see it. The audience literally would hold their breath when they were singing because they didn't want to miss a second of the beauty of their sound. We learned at that particular event something that we did not know, and that was in the Orthodox Church in Russia for a lot of generations, instruments were not allowed. The human voice was developed so that it became the instrument, and the harmony that these 8 men were able to produce was just awesome. So when you have experiences like this, and I'm sure those of you listening, there have been songs that you heard that whenever they're played, that brings a memory to you. There's something that resonated with you. And it can be a love song, it can be a ballad, it can be a piece of classical music, but it's something that touches your very spirit. Music is a wonderful, wonderful instrument to utilize. If you feel like you're depressed, turn on music that has joy in it. If you feel like your energy is low, listen to something that is going to invigorate you. Or like this CD, if you wanted to do meditation, you can do this. There are so many ways of using music. If you want to clean house fast, put on the cha-cha, the rumba, the samba, put on something that makes you feel good. Rock and roll, something that is going to lift your heart. Because what it does, it shifts you mentally. It shifts you mentally. And it's so absolutely liberating. So have music in your life. Put it on. We get enough garbage in the way of bad news all the time. Take the momentum of choice in your life. Implement music. Implement the factor that you can carry with you. If you've got an iPod, whatever it is, use it. And it will enable you to keep yourself where you want to be mentally. But have fun with it. Music is wonderful. You know what inspires me sometimes? Listen to Alvin the Chipmunk. I know it sounds wacky. I can't help it. I think Alvin is one just adorable. But whenever I hear Alvin singing, and I know it's all manufactured, just the tone makes me laugh. It really does. It just gets whimsical in my head. And so it enables me to lighten up. And I would say find those things that you can enjoy. Best friend them. And just know that they're always there for you to access. And it really makes a difference in your life. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. First, I want to let those of you who are listening from New York City, the Big Apple, I'm going to be there next week, and I will also be available for in-person private consultations, also by telephone for the few days that I'm there. I'm always available by phone pretty much most of the time anyway for private appointments, but the thing is, I'm going to be down or being across country in your part of the world, and I would just like you to know if you want to get in touch with me, call my office at 800-872-8852 or 253-582-5604. You can go to my website, also check on my newsletter. You'll find out about additional contact information there, and I'll be there from the 14th through the 16th. It's a short period of time, but that's just the way it is. And then I want to tell those of you that are listening from Alaska, I'm going to be in Alaska in May from the 9th through the 15th. So you can check my website as well, and you'll find my schedule and itinerary, and you can also call me in advance to schedule appointments. Okay, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Courage Companion, living your life with true power. Mary Beth Sammons is going to be with us. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the green stuff, Moneylicious. Now, I know the government is supposed to be shutting down. All kinds of things are being doomsday, but I guarantee you, money's not disappearing. So we're going to be finding out about what we can do with it and how we can use it most effectively. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Just a little bit of trivia here. I wanted to share with you information about a rose bush. There's a rose bush in Tombstone, Arizona that spreads over an 8,000, you're hearing me correctly, 8,000 square foot stretch of an arbor. Now try to get that visual in your head. The White Lady Banksia rose has a trunk that's 12 feet in circumference, and it was originally brought over as a root from Scotland in 1885. I never knew that a rose would be able to grow and cover 8,000 square feet of arbor. That is almost incomprehensible to me. I mean, I've seen roses with arbors, but never that. And then also, I wanted to share with you, because people are always talking about energy and doing this, doing that, doing the other. There was a team of engineering students from the University of British Columbia that built a vehicle so efficient it could travel from Vancouver to Halifax, the entire breadth of Canada, on 1 gallon of gasoline. You're hearing me correctly. These students put this vehicle together. In tests, it achieved an amazing 3,145 miles to the U.S. gallon. The only drawback to this vehicle, which was considered very futuristic, it was a single occupancy vehicle, and you had to lie down while you were navigating it. Well, that sort of gets to be very uncomfortable. But I'm sure with a slight adjustment, that could have been appropriately designed. But think of that. Now, these were engineering students. They came up with a vehicle. Only one passenger could be in it. What if you designed it for two? Maybe it would use a little bit more gasoline, but wouldn't you like a vehicle that would go over 3,000 miles on 1 gallon of gas? I think so. Wonder what happened to what these engineering students put together. Love to find out. If you find out, let me know. Now, there is another point, and maybe you've heard about this. This is just another little bit of trivia before we go on break. Zipaquirá, Colombia. There's a cathedral built into the walls of a salt mine 600 feet deep inside a mountain. A whole cathedral. Just amazing stuff. Wonderful information. I still go back to that vehicle that can travel over 3,000 miles on 1 gallon of gasoline. What is the excuse of companies not utilizing this information? What makes it so tough to go into a transition like this? Makes you wonder. All we need is somebody that's going to say, I can do it. I can do it. Oh, hey, and one last item before we go to break. A lovely mountain here in the state of Washington, Mount St. Helens, she blew her top in 1980, creating havoc in many ways, not just here in Washington, D.C., but in the air quality around the world. A volcano doesn't have any discriminating capacities to itself. Well, here in the state of Washington, this Mount St. Helens spews out twice as much sulfur dioxide as all of our state industries added together. So when you're thinking about all of these things that are affecting our world, remember, Mother Nature can do a lot sometimes in 30 seconds, more so than humanity can do in one incident or two. Don't ever underestimate Mother Nature. She's not someone that is a weak link. She knows her stuff. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be coming back in just a minute. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. We'll come right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat at 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share with you a daffodil story. It's spring. Daffodils here in the state of Washington are absolutely glorious. They are out there just letting their shiny yellow faces just beam out this beautiful glow in these gray sky days. But of course, that's what makes us so green here in the state of Washington. But rain, and even a little bit of hail in some areas has been keeping us company. And these little daffodils, regardless of what's going on, are there just glowing, and it's a joy and a feast for the eyes against the grayness. Now, there is a lady by the name of Jenny whose mom was so very, very special to her. They were very, very close. And her mother was in the hospital, and there were these gorgeous, gorgeous daffodils that she brought in to her. She said, "Mom, it's March. This is daffodil month, and I want you to know they're out of our garden." Well, her mother, when she was looking at them, she took her daughter's hand, and she asked her daughter to promise her something. Her daughter said, "Yes, Mom, I'd be glad to." She knew her mother was dying. Her mother had cancer of the pancreas. And her mother said, "I want you to promise that before you sell my house, that you'll dig up all of my daffodil bulbs to plant in your yard, in your backyard." Well, she promised her mother that that's what she was going to do. Well, her mother was gone shortly after they had had that conversation. And the house that her mother had lived in, of course, was being put up for sale, and so they really had to go in and do all the cleaning and the painting and everything to get it prepared for that status. And she said when the house was getting ready to be sold, she had totally forgotten about her promise to her mom about bringing the daffodils over into her own yard. She said the house had been sold, and they were going over to sign their final papers, and she went, "Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get the daffodil bulbs." And she said before she could turn the keys over, she just really, really wondered what she should do. Well, she said, "Okay, I got to get them." So she put a shovel in her trunk of her car along with a cardboard box, and she went to her mother's house. Well, she wasn't sure where the daffodils were. She couldn't remember exactly where her mother had planted them. And she said, "Oh my goodness, everything's covered up. Let me think." So it popped into her head a memory of where she had seen them blooming. So she started digging in the dirt where she remembered that they had bloomed before, and sure enough, there were a whole clump of the bulbs. And so she said she just kept following the fence line and just kept tossing the bulbs into the box. Well, one of the things that she did, because her mother had planted so many of them, she left some behind. She didn't take them all. She left some behind for the family that was going to be living in the home. And she said, "At 5 years later, every March, she gathers up armloads of daffodils out of her yard and puts them in vases throughout her home." And she said, "Often I'll take them to the cancer wing at the nearby hospital, and people will say, 'Where did these gorgeous daffodils come from?' She said, 'My mother has sent them, especially for you. It's daffodil month, you know.'" To me, it was such a heartwarming story because the legacy that her mother left in her garden, she was able to transpose into her own and then continue to share that legacy, the beauty of the flowers, of the daffodils, with people in cancer wards, maybe with neighbors, wherever she wanted to leave the gift, the legacy, that sort of carrying her mother's memory in a marvelous, marvelous way. And I think what it also gives is an understanding that when someone has a love of the earth, as her mother did, and took such pride in making sure that her flowers were well tended, the feast for the eyes and the spirit is ongoing. So if you have an opportunity to plant something that you can every year look forward to seeing it blooming in your yard, remember that this is very, very special. It blesses the people that see it, if it's out in your front yard Or like one woman who had a piece of property, she planted daffodils like you wouldn't believe. She planted well over 5,000 of them. And when she passed away, it was maintained by others that knew what she had done. And every spring, people drive by this particular piece of property, and they see this abundance of beauty shining before them, and it's just invigorating. That's what spring is all about. Spring is about renewal. Spring is about getting through the cold months where things are so tough and giving you the hope of life, the hope that, gee whiz, things are really going to be okay. And that's sort of a lesson for life, isn't it? We can all go through difficult times. It's not easy. I guarantee you everyone's going to have them. If you don't get them when you're younger, you're going to get them in middle age, or you're going to have tough times when you're older. It's just life. There's nobody out there that says life is fair. It's just what it is. It happens to all of us. So when spring comes around, it's so refreshing. So if you're like me and you live in a part of the country where the temperatures are rather brisk and the rain is pouring, go out for a walk anyway. Check out your neighborhood. Stop by and look at the beautiful things that people plant and appreciate them. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it just uplifts your spirit. If you're feeling like life is dragging you down, well, pick up your spirits by getting out, getting some fresh air, and just saying thank you. Be grateful for your senses. Be grateful for the fact that you are able to move, to see, to listen, to hear. You'll hear the songs of birds, and it's just marvelous. Nature is not quiet. She's noisy. She's really noisy. So enjoy the music of nature. Don't closet yourself away. I'm telling you, you'll have gifts like you would never have believed. And I want to share, I'm not going to be able to do it. There's so many wonderful stories that you've sent me and so many wonderful things that I come across. And, well, I've run out of time, so I'll just have to share it with you on another day. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Courage Companion. Won't you join me? Tell your friends. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Listen to the music of life. It has a melody that's just for you. And if you listen carefully, you will find that you're uplifted and you'll realize that your purpose in life is greater and more valuable than you could ever imagine. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Donna Sebo here, bbsradio.com. Bye for now.